I'd like Pastor Bill Edgar, maybe familiar to many of you, to come and give the pastor the charge to Alex Tabaka.
Alex, you're back in that corner. So I'm speaking to you, the rest of you, you may listen. Alex, when I was young, you were a minister, short for minister or servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Colloquially, you were a preacher. Fortunately, minister never turned into Minister Bob. For that, we have the word reverend, as in Reverend Tabaka. Later, in our circles, you became teaching elder, a somewhat awkward way to say that all elders are equal, but some are more equal than others because they preach regularly and get paid a salary. Nowadays, you are the pastor and may even be introduced as Pastor Alex. Sounds friendly, I guess, but I won't be using it. Each of these names, minister, Old English for servant, elder, Old English and New English for old person, and pastor, Old English for shepherd, have a biblical origin and aptly describe your job. One, preach the word of God. Two, with the wisdom of age, whether you are old or not, govern the church and settle disputes along with the other elders. And three, be a shepherd. Feed, protect, and if necessary, rescue your people. There is a fourth biblical title, which we do not use in our circles, and that is bishop, or in more modern translations, overseers. And that also belongs to your job description. You have organizational and administrative duties. I'm going to read some Bible passages about how you are to do your job. I'm going to give your position a German sort of title. This is all one long word smushed together. Minister, elder, pastor, administrator. First passage. Matthew 20, verses 25 to 28. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I remember reading long ago an account of an American missionary fleeing the advancing communists in China in 1948, who took refuge for a time in an entirely Christian Chinese village. In the Chinese church there, the elders and only the elders collected the night soil every morning to fulfill Jesus' words of being a servant. No job in the church is beneath you. Second passage, Matthew 23:8-11, Jesus speaking again. "But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. When anyone begins treating you as though you were God, answer with Jacob to Rachel and Joseph to his brothers, 'Am I in the place of God?'" Third passage, Romans 1:1, and many other places. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. Paul called himself that often because it was true, and to keep people from doing what Jesus told his disciples not to permit, putting him in the place of our one Father in heaven and our one instructor, Christ. You are not a guru. Four, Paul to Timothy. "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. As a preacher, you are always on, in season and out of season, always to exhibit complete patience. In all situations, you are to be the adult of last resort. And 5, Peter. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Here are 3 sins to avoid: doing your work unwillingly, or in order to get rich, or as a power trip. And 2 imperatives: shepherd the flock of God and be an example to that flock. You are the new pastor in a congregation organized in the year 1798. It struggled for 5 years, and then its first pastor was installed in 1803, Samuel B. Wiley. He was pastor for 30 years until 1833. He was succeeded by James Melville Wilson in 1834, who was pastor here until 1862, 28 years. By the way, my great-great-grandfather. During his pastorate, the second church was formed in Philadelphia. And in the next 100 years, it had 3 pastors: Samuel O. Wiley, 1844 to 1883, 39 years. James McPheeters, 1889 to 1921, 32 years. And then a short pastorate, Frank Stewart, 1921 to 1948, 27 years. Meanwhile, the first church had 4 pastors, but as you will hear, in fact, only 3. From 1862 to 1912, those of you with quick mental arithmetic, I hope, are gasping, that's 50 years. Thomas Patton Stevenson. And then for 6 years, M.M. Pierce, who was later president of Geneva College. And then for 7 months, S.J. Johnston. That's why I say 3 rather than 4. Don't know much about him. And then from 1922 to 1950, Samuel Edgar Greer, 28 years. In 1948, First and Second Church, both having shrunk dramatically in the 20th century, united, and the one church that had become 2 became 1 again. We have in our congregation 1 person who was baptized in First Church, and that would be George. George, where are you? Oh, there you are. Am I right? I thought you were a member of First Church.
I was in Second Church for some reason.
Okay. See, I should have checked on this before I hear. Okay, we'll move on. Gene Smith, baptized in the First or Second Church? Second Church. Okay, that's what I thought. After the 2 churches united in 1948, 3 pastors: Paul D. McCracken, 1954 to 1965. He is the patriarchal ancestor of all those McCrackens all across the United States. Harold Harrington, 1968 to 1980, 12 years. And now we get into almost contemporary history. Harold baptized my wife Gretchen in December 1968. Performed the wedding ceremony for me and my wife in 1969, baptized our daughter Betsy in 1975, and helped to ordain me as an elder in this congregation in 1976. And then I was pastor here from 1981 to 2015, 34 years. What sort of a flock has God given you, Alex? I'm going to close with Augustine's account of your calling, which well describes the people God gives you to care for. Sooner or later, you will find them all here at Broomall. He writes, "Disturbers are to be rebuked, the low-spirited to be encouraged, the infirm to be supported, objectors confuted, the treacherous guarded against, the unskilled taught, the lazy aroused, the contentious restrained, the haughty repressed, litigants pacified, the poor relieved, the oppressed liberated, the good approved, the evil born with, and all are to be loved."